Well, also today, members of the Senate Intelligence Committee are behind closed doors deciding whether to approve a 6,000-page classified report on CIA interrogations post-9/11. In other words, after the Bush administration approved the use of torture. A committee chair, California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, says the report concludes that brutal treatment was not a central component in finding Osama bin Laden. But committee Republicans refused to participate in writing that report. They're now calling it flawed, and film critics may soon be weighing in. Zero Dark Thirty, the new movie from director Kathryn Bigelow about the killing of Osama bin Laden, won't be out until next week, but it opens with an unflinching portrayal of a brutal CIA interrogation of an al-Qaeda suspect, and it also includes waterboarding.
I am bad news. I'm not your friend. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to break you. Any questions?
Today, Zero Dark Thirty was one of the Golden Globe nominees for Best Dramatic Feature, but screenwriter Mark Bowl says he was trying to show brutal treatment produced both true and false information. Jamil Jaffer of the Civil Liberties Union told the New York Times that since the film opens with torture and ends with the killing of bin Laden, a viewer may come away with a sense of cause and effect. He's worried because he says that would be a false impression. Greg Miller covers national intelligence for The Washington Post. Greg, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks very much.
Touch first of all on the torture debate. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who was chief of staff at the State Department when Colin Powell was Secretary of State, told MSNBC that torture did not lead to the killing of bin Laden. FBI agent Ali Soufan wrote an op-ed in 2009 saying there was no actionable intelligence gained from enhanced interrogations. But former Vice President Dick Cheney says intelligence from enhanced interrogations, that it usually translates as waterboarding, made it possible for the president to order the killing of bin Laden. What is true about how information was gained to find Osama bin Laden?
When you ask CIA officials who are involved in this program, I mean, even they will acknowledge that it's a bit ambiguous. You have some who will argue that it was effective and it was important. Nobody comes forward to make any claim that it provided just a sort of the breakthrough intelligence that led to bin Laden. And in fact, most of these methods had been abandoned for years before the raid on bin Laden last year. So it took a lot of detective work and a lot of intelligence from a lot of other sources. But it's clear that information from detainees was an important source of intelligence on al-Qaeda for the CIA. It's less clear, and one of the aims of the Senate Intelligence Committee's report is to look at, well, was torture, were brutal interrogation methods such as waterboarding necessary to get that information from detainees?
Yeah, so that's kind of a nuance there because the report's not asking if there was torture. The report is asking if other means might have gotten the same information even if there was torture. And again, we mentioned Jamil Jaffer of the American Civil Liberties Union who's seen the film. He says, ultimately, he doesn't think it makes a strong case for or against torture. It shows that the big breaks in the Osama bin Laden case came from good old-fashioned intelligence work, you know, boots on the ground. But he is worried that there might be an impression there. Here's what the director of Zero Dark Thirty, Kathryn Bigelow, says. She's defending the torture that's depicted in the film and says it's part of the story of the hunt for bin Laden.
There were many methods utilized to obtain detainee information. Some is electronic surveillance, some is cell phone trap and trace, good old-fashioned boots on the ground sleuthing. So many methods were utilized. And enhanced interrogation.
Yeah. Again, Zero Dark Thirty director Kathryn Bigelow with Charlie Rose of CBS. So Greg Miller, back to the report, because, again, we don't know. What else can we glean from what Dianne Feinstein said about the report's conclusions?
Well, I don't think it would be a big surprise if the bottom line from this report is that there is no compelling evidence that the enhanced interrogation techniques like waterboarding produced breakthroughs, intelligence breakthroughs, or were clearly linked to successful operations. It's going to be a more nuanced thing. And the fact that the Republicans boycotted this endeavor by the Senate Intelligence Committee, and it's clear they didn't see any advantage for them in participating and scrutinizing, you know, these methods that were approved in the Bush administration and ended by President Obama. So even, you know, whatever the conclusions are in this report, they're not going to resolve this debate because it will be portrayed as a Democratic product with Republican opposition.
Well, the quotes that we're reading from Dianne Feinstein, again, it's nuanced. She says the report concludes that brutal treatment was not a central component in finding Osama bin Laden, but that doesn't mean, you know, it wasn't some component. And she also has been quoted as saying that the report concludes that abusive treatment of detainees was far more widespread and systematic than previously thought. But, you know, talk more about the politics of all of this. Republicans, some of them want the report made public or vetted by the CIA before the committee votes on it. Why won't the Democrats agree to that?
Well, that's a Republican move that is designed perhaps to bury this thing. You mean if you ask the CIA to weigh in on corrections on this and evaluate this, one, it kicks it down the road. That will take a long time for the agency to do. This is, as you pointed out, a 6,000-page report, and it's based on tens of thousands of pages of documents that the committee obtained. So it's a way to get, you know, a way to push this off. I imagine that for the Democrats, they don't want to invite that kind of scrutiny or criticism of their work. They don't want to have perhaps a competing set of conclusions out there when this is all done, or to have the agency able to point out flaws in the report to Republicans that they could use to discredit it.
It's funny because Republicans were at first fearful of this film because the director was given some access to intelligence and through the Obama administration, and Republicans were fearful that if this was released before the election, the Obama administration might be given too much credit. Now there are critics saying the Obama administration might not be at all happy with this film because it might give some credit to the enhanced interrogation that was practiced under the Bush administration.
Yeah, and it's also boomeranged a bit on the CIA. I mean, the agency cooperated extensively with these filmmakers and undoubtedly thought that, you know, this is a chance to have Hollywood portray one of the agency's greatest successes in its history. What could go wrong here, you know? But it ends up that I've had CIA people say that the enthusiasm about this project at the agency has been tampered as more details have surfaced about the film, and particularly the fact that it opens with, I think, about a 10-minute sequence of just a harrowing torture scene.
Greg Miller of The Washington Post. The new film Zero Dark Thirty, that tells of the killing of Osama bin Laden by Navy SEALs in Pakistan last year, opens next week. It and a report in Congress are raising questions about interrogation and raising tensions in the CIA. Greg, thanks to the reporting you and others have done, we're learning more about this female character in the movie. She's a CIA agent. In the film, she's called Maya. We don't know her real name, but she's portrayed as the CIA operative who really pushed the hunt for Osama bin Laden by focusing on and tracking his couriers. Here she is in the film talking to the Navy SEALs who actually conducted the raid that killed bin Laden.
There are two narratives about the location of Osama bin Laden. The one that you're most familiar with is that UBL is hiding in a cave in the tribal areas. But that narrative is pre-9/11 understanding of UBL. The second narrative is that he's living in a city. Living in a city with multiple points of egress and entry, access to communications, so that he can keep in touch with the organization. You can't run a global network of interconnected cells from a cave.
Actress Jessica Chastain in the new film Zero Dark Thirty. And Greg, she seems a lot like the character in the earlier National Geographic movie, which aired before the election. You know, both women, both characters so much alike that one has to think, wow, this really must have been based on a real character. Is this a real character?
Yeah, and others have also connected this to the Carrie character in the television series Homeland. So they are all traced back to an actual operative for the CIA, a woman in her 30s who is an undercover operative who spent years in Pakistan pursuing bin Laden and was a critical player in that. Had a significant role in pursuing the theory that following the couriers, the group of men that al-Qaeda depended on to hand-deliver its messages would be the way to find bin Laden. She's not the only one who believed in that theory, but she was particularly tenacious in her commitment to it and in following it. And in the aftermath of that, she's gotten a lot of attention from Hollywood. She got a lot of attention from the White House in the weeks leading up to the raid, and that's created a lot of jealousy and friction within the CIA.
Well, what has happened to her? So many said that because of the role that she played in the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden, surely she would be in line for promotions and other honors. But you write that hasn't happened.
Right. I mean, here's this heroine, a real-life heroine at the agency. Nobody disputes that she played an important and singular role in the search for bin Laden. But her career after that operation has had some rough developments. She was in line for a promotion, and it was passed over. She was blocked from getting that. She has clashed with colleagues over credit for the operation. There was an episode earlier this year where the agency had an award ceremony where they invited dozens of people who had contributed to the bin Laden mission. And she was among them, of course, but she didn't like that so many others were included as well, and sent an email back to the entire list of invitees basically saying, you guys don't deserve to share these accolades with me. Some of you got in my way.
That, again, seems to represent the fierceness maybe that propelled her to help in the capture of Osama bin Laden. But how did that go over in the agency?
Well, it didn't go over very well. And you're right, though. It is, her defenders and supporters say that this is true, that she has a difficult personality, for sure, but that it's also part of what makes her effective in her job at the CIA. She was what's known as a targeter for the agency. So she's an undercover operative, and her role is to examine mountains of data, looking for vulnerabilities in the al-Qaeda network. Not only people you can hit with a drone strike, perhaps, but also people who are weak, who you could recruit as informants, people to follow who might be able to lead you to bigger and more important operatives. And that requires a level of tenaciousness that may sort of spill over into other aspects of her personality.
Well, you write that officials acknowledge that the screenwriters met with this real-life agent and other CIA officers, with someone from the Public Affairs Office present. But we know that there are investigations going on as to whether or not there might have been other conversations, backdoor conversations. Just, Greg, leave us with what's going on inside the CIA, this tremendous moment for the CIA, but followed by perhaps the dark shadow of publicity and fame, because of that moment.
And jealousy and conflict and things you would likely find in any organization. Once the agency started cooperating so extensively with the filmmakers here, a lot of Republicans got very angry about that, and they were worried about how this might factor into an election year, whether this movie would come out ahead of the election and basically become a campaign ad for President Obama. And so the CIA put its own inspector general, its in-house watchdog, on that same case to look at these sessions and how much was shared. Was too much information shared? And so the Maya character has come under scrutiny as part of that broader probe.
But is there some regret within the agency? Maybe we should, maybe it's okay not to have all that fame because of the shadow that goes with it. But is there some sense of maybe we should just keep quiet about this?
Well, I think that there are definitely people within the agency who feel like that should be the CIA's position no matter what, and that you can't, and that this is a secret agency and it should not be playing these games with Hollywood. But this is also a Washington institution. The CIA takes care of itself, and here it saw an opportunity to tout its, what will go down as one of its biggest successes in history. And I think that it became more complicated than the agency anticipated.
Yeah. And one last question. It's an obvious one. We should ask it, though. Is there a sense that this real-life female agent is having the problems she is having because she's female?
I think that's definitely a fair question. The agency has more women in its senior ranks than ever before, but it still remains this male-dominated place and male-dominated culture. There has never been a woman who has run its clandestine service, which is the part of the agency that operates overseas, that sends spies and operatives overseas, including the woman upon whom this Maya character is based.
And not just a woman, but a young woman. Greg Miller, who covers national security for The Washington Post. Fascinating. Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you.
So, do you plan on seeing Zero Dark Thirty? The filmmakers say it's not a documentary, but still, do you hope to glean something from it? Love to hear your thoughts. HereAndNow.org or weigh in on Facebook.com/HereAndNowRadio. Later today, some lighter film fare, the new Hobbit movie. But the latest news is next. Here and Now.